You're on Breakfast here on Radio Adelaide with Tom Mann. University is about to be over for a whole horde of students. And after such a disrupted year, these young people are about to enter into a job market that's become more competitive in a weaker economy than we've faced in many years. So how do you make your mark, get your foot in the door, and make it into the fray of the career of your choice? Jordan Matthews from Matthews Architects joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Morning.
So what do you see as the biggest challenges facing graduates looking to next year?
You just phrased it really well. Like, a very qualified group of graduates and school leavers entering a tough economy with a whole lot of competition. Like, that's, they couldn't get really much tougher than that. And it's easy to look at that and sort of react to that by, oh, well, what's the point of trying? And another way to look at it is, in a tough economy, this is the time to actually be different. Like, and it's your difference, it's your uniqueness that will get your career going. So there's a few ways you can express that. And something an employment agent told me years ago was, most jobs are not advertised. Mm-hmm. That's worth remembering.
It's one of those hidden rules, I think.
Yeah. So if you're only applying for jobs that are advertised, you're not applying for most jobs that might suit you. And another thing that I remember, one of my high school teachers telling me, this was about 100 years ago, that most jobs that are going to exist in about 5 years' time don't exist today. So a lot of the things that universities do is try to predict the kinds of jobs that might be needed in the future, even though they don't exist yet, and to try and train people with the skill sets, which means you may have a skill set that is in advance of where your industry is up to, or the industry you're interested in, at least.
So with that in mind, do you think there are any assets for graduates or students at university at this time that are looking into the job market?
Absolutely. The counterpoint to this, which I think every university student in particular needs to bear in mind, is that if you've spent years at university, you've been part of a culture which is very valuable, but that culture is different to your professional culture. There's going to be a transition. You're going to go through culture shock when you step from an institutional environment like a university to going to a work environment. It's not the kind of culture shock that's like going from prison into, like, you know, free society, but it is a culture shock nonetheless, and you need to brace yourself for it. A lot of uni students these days, though, do work while they're at uni. And that's a kind of a good way of actually making sure that you're in touch with both cultures the whole way. I'm a great believer in the idea, but not all pursuits of study allow it. It's not easy to always work while you're studying. But it is a good way to essentially stay in touch with the idea that, you know, businesses have to operate, and somewhere in there is the place for you.
So you brought up this idea of students obviously having a point of difference coming straight out of uni, and also this idea that is definitely one worth remembering, that not all jobs are advertised, and so there certainly are some jobs out there. But what are the first steps maybe from jumping from that institutional environment into the professional environment, getting your foot in the door?
The first one I would say is decide which door. And I think that's one of the reasons to step beyond the idea that you only have to apply for jobs that are advertised. You should first decide, who do you really want to work for, or work with, or, you know, if you wanted to start your own business, it's a different path. So maybe I'll park that for a minute. But if you decided that there's a particular enterprise that really interests you and you want to get involved, it used to be that people would say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And in towns like Adelaide, you know, people used to say that a lot. But now we have the internet. So you might not have met them, but you can know quite a lot about an organization or people before you walk through the door. So my strong advice would be, first decide who you are most interested in working for. Then actually find out a bit about them. Now, almost every company these days has a website that will tell you a great deal about them. You don't have to stalk them or rummage through the garbage to find great information. Somewhere on their website, they'll probably even tell you who the key people are that you might be talking to if you're applying for a job. And then my next advice would be, don't just send them your CV and a cover letter. Phone them. Most people in Adelaide you can reach on the phone. You might have to try one or two times, and you might get people say, oh, they're very busy, what's this about? But persistence does pay off. There's a fine line between persistence and harassment, and you'll know where that is. But it is very impressive to an employer or a business to see someone demonstrate genuine interest in working with them. that means that by the time you've actually spoken to them and said, would it be all right if I send you my CV? I understand you're not advertising for a job right now, but I would be very interested if there is such a job. By the time they actually get it, they've already spoken to you and they're already expecting it, which means they're very likely to read it. And the other thing to bear in mind is if it is an advertised position, even if it's not, you're probably not the only CV and cover letter that might be arriving across, you know, a key person's desk. They might read 50 a week. So keep it brief. You know, my CV, I've had a career now that's about 20 years. I'd like to think that I'm not halfway through yet. But my CV is one page. And I think it's important to try and keep your CV, if you can, to a single page. You can add to that a cover letter, but again, your cover letter should be two paragraphs at most. No one's going to read like lengthy prose. They just don't have the time. And your idea is not to tell them everything about yourself. Your idea is to introduce yourself, leave a bit of mystery, because you want them to think, this is someone I would actually like to meet in person, get them in, let's have a coffee and a conversation.
Speaking with Gerald Matthews from Matthews Architects about the challenges and opportunities facing university leavers this year looking to head into the job market. Now, you sort of touched upon that idea of, you know, there can be an overwhelming amount of people applying for jobs at the moment, and it is important maybe to make a point of difference, get yourself noticed. But what can be some mistakes in attempting to get noticed?
I think the rules are different depending on different professions. Maybe I'll talk about architecture, because the rules for graduates of architecture, there really aren't many. The only rule I would say is, yeah, keep it brief. By all means, you could send in your entire portfolio, but it's probably more powerful to send in, you know, a 2 or 3 page sample extract from your portfolio and then bring your portfolio to an actual interview when you get one. But other than that, the main rule that I would say as a guide for anything design related, so architecture, interior design, graphic design, industrial design, anything that's media related even, presentation matters. Grammar matters, like your ability to verbally communicate by all means. But if you're in a field where design matters and presentation matters, then the way you literally lay out the page will have a big impact. I don't know if I subscribe to the include a photograph of yourself or don't include a photograph of yourself. Fundamentally, you make your own choices about things like that. But I would say if you use a standardized template downloaded off the internet, that's a great starting point. But by all means, have a go at embellishing it, adapting it, making it your own. The more you can make your CV physically memorable, the more chance you've got of someone actually shuffling back to it in a pile of CVs.
And to touch back on that idea of the edge that students and school leavers currently have, to throw out a cliche, we're in a rapidly changing world, obviously. So you touched upon this idea of business too. What maybe might be some tips for people looking to maybe make a bigger splash or you know, strike out on their own at this sort of difficult time?
Yeah, well, if you can't find the job you want, it is, I'm sure there are a lot of people right now contemplating the idea of actually commencing a business or starting an enterprise. And that might be anything from, you know, turning your hobby into an actual livelihood or trying your hand at something that gives you an entry point to earn a living. Like I know people who in the last 6 months have not just dabbled, but have actually stepping into the arena of distilling, who before this, you know, they were in advertising. And I think there's probably a lot of people doing a bit of a career pivot this year worldwide. You know, this is the time for a lot of people to think, you know I've studied this for 5 years, but it's led me to this different desire now. And I guess I would encourage everybody to analyze that idea of not just a study for a vocation. There are some courses that are clearly designed with that intent, as in you study this and we are preparing you for a career. Architecture is a lot like that. But it would be true to say that of everyone I know who's ever studied architecture, far less than half of them are actually practicing architects. The rest of them are doing all kinds of things. I know one guy runs a bowling alley. A few of them moved into marketing and advertising. One of them makes films. Several of them are web developers. Like, they all took different tangents, but they're all kind of except for the bowling alley, maybe. They're all sort of vaguely design-driven. So they're still using everything they learned at uni. They're just using it in a different way.
So do you think that open-minded nature is quite important when looking, you know, being at uni, and sometimes they'll a lot of the universities are quite job-driven. They want to set you up and send you off into the world into using that degree that you've earned. But is it sometimes a bit more important to be open-minded about the skills you learn and how they can be applied mm-hmm. in other ways?
Yep. There's also a really good principle, which is that you can't learn something if you're convinced you already know it. And a lot of careers, your first 6 months are going to have a huge learning curve. So if you approach that career with this idea of, well, I've just finished studying this, I know everything, it's going to be really hard to find an entry point, because anyone who's going to interview or talk to you about commencing your career is essentially looking for your desire to learn the next thing, which is, how does this actually work in practice? So the approach to lifelong learning, you hear like universities and schools talk about that a lot. It's a real thing, and it's an attitude shift with this idea that, for example, in our design firm, if we're looking for a new graduate of architecture who's never practiced before but has, you know, finished their studies, the main thing I look for, I don't really care how good the portfolio is. I know that sounds strange. I care that there is one, and I'm interested in, you know, the thinking that's gone into it. But what I care about most is their desire to learn different things. You know, things that you couldn't learn at university, not within that context, but you will learn within a professional context.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much for sharing this morning. That's so much invaluable information for so many people, I think.
Always a pleasure.
Gerald Matthews there from Matthews Architects. They're speaking about the challenges and opportunities facing university leavers this year.